hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow.
The Attorney General will be submitting his resignation to the President.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't know for sure who we're arming. I'm not sure that a year or 2 years from now, those weapons won't be turned on us. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on there.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just admire you to no end. You keep doing the right things. Having you out there and promoting the things that you promote is sure a blessing.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Stay on top and stay strong.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
705, 60 degrees in Meridian, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. I want to thank everyone who attended the rally to end domestic violence last night. Huge big ups to the Boise Rescue Mission for all their work, for all the people that showed up. Also, Foothills Christian Church, thank you very much. Thank you for all who explained everything and who talked about real-life issues of abuse. I want to thank the listeners of this program for showing up, and we're going to be doing more of these. If you need more information on how to stop domestic violence, how to stop child abuse, 580kido.com will have all that information up there for you. Other issues at hand, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. We're talking about Eric Holder, taking your calls at 580-5436. 580-KIDO, and, you know, I think his most memorable speech had to be when Congressman Labrador asked him to just be accountable, and this is the arrogance of Eric Holder.
Among the worst things I think I've ever seen, you took a whole series of statements out of context, with no context.
With all due respect, the worst thing I've ever seen.
The gentleman's time has expired.
And, you know, I was, the Mark Rich thing was considered in my confirmation. Talked about it then. There's a whole bunch of things that I could say about what you just did. And maybe this is the way you do things from, you know, in Idaho or wherever you're from.
In Idaho or wherever you're from, Alan L. Morton. Talk about not knowing when to hold him and when to fold him, the arrogance of your friend, Eric Holder.
Well, not my friend, a colleague, associate.
You know him personally.
I do. I do.
What's he like?
Pretty much to himself, although he has two personalities, one public and one private. He is very opinionated. Like we are, but he's very vocal about his beliefs, and we're not very happy with a lot of the ways that he treats other people, like our own representative Raul Labrador,
a gentleman that you know quite well as well.
I do, and it was disappointing, the conversation both ways between these folks, because our political discourse is basically now descended to an all-time low of name-calling. And
you took issue with Sean Hannity yesterday.
I certainly did, over the same issue. We should be talking about issues, plans, programs, and debating political philosophy and not resorting to name-calling.
Well, but look, when the Attorney General starts it, I mean, who's the adult here?
I don't know if
Idaho
case,
or wherever you're from, we're a nation of cowards. Quite frankly, I would look at anybody who is an elected official and say that, and say they have no credibility when it comes to the eyes of the law. By the way, let's go to the phones. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Tom Munns Facebook for Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Tom, good morning. Thank you for showing up last night, by the way.
Good morning. It was great to meet Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, last night. What a distinguished young fellow.
It was my pleasure to meet you, too, Tom.
It's okay. We don't have to be friends on Facebook.
All right, Tom, let's get to the point here. You can have a giggle fest with Alan off the air.
And I meant that in good things. But I wanted.
What about Eric Holder?
Well, Eric Holder is going to be appointed to the Supreme Court to finally throw and to in an effort to ban guns. And he is. I love the fact that Alan is so distinguished and refined. We talked about that last night. I choose words like the fact that Holder is the enemy of the state. He is the enemy of the American people. He's put in a position to be able to protect and and do those things of protecting life, liberty, and property. And he and his entourage and his administration have done nothing to be able to launch a full-scale assault on the American people and the states.
Tom, he has no chance of being nominated to the Supreme Court. Zero chance.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Supreme Court has really gone to pot in the last 100 years when they start making, you know, decisions that, you know, Roe v. Wade was a classic example of judicial tyranny. When you have somebody that decides to be able to, you know, when the judge feels that it has the enforcement mechanism to be able to send down an order like a ruling from a high king and have it apply to the states, when we all know that the states have the ability constitutionally to be able to simply, as Federalist 17 says, just simply ignore the order.
I think we're losing track here. What about Eric Holder? Tom Munn says he's going to be a Supreme Court judge there, Alan.
Zero chance of that. He's burned that bridge with members of Congress and even in his own party. Even if nominated, he wouldn't face, he'd be like a Borg, you know, with respect to the nomination process. He's a lightning rod for controversy. And he's already been on position on a number of issues that would just pretty much nuke him in a confirmation hearing.
Tom?
Well, you know, Alan, I'm going to hope that he's right on that. But if he is right, the only other thing I worry about is we have to understand that he and Obama, I believe, seem to be fairly close. And the fact that Holder is such an antagonist, I think that he's going to be put in a position to do much more damage than he's already done as Attorney General. So, you know, Alan may be right on that. I don't know. It's just an eerie feeling.
He's already got you backing down, Tom. Come on.
You could take it to the bank, though, Tom.
But see, when we're arguing things of opinion, I mean, it's easy for me to be able to back down. But when we're talking about facts, buddy, bring it on.
All right, Tom. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you, man. Good job last night.
Thanks, our great friend Tom Munns. Here we have a question from Jim for Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Now, how do you want to characterize it? Are you the truth teller, or are you the defender of the realm or the administration? How should we? I want to make sure I position you correctly here.
You're talking to me?
No, is there anybody else in this room at 580KIDO?
Well, I'm...
You're giving the other perspective.
I think it's important to bring out, as Tom indicated, the facts.
Well, here's a fact for you. Kevin, I am not an attorney, which will be evidenced by the nature of my question, but I would like to know, why is it that attorneys never seem willing to badmouth each other, but the first thing that happens in a trial as each tries to discredit the other's witnesses personally... Eric Holder should be in jail.
Well, I don't agree that he's committed any crimes. I think he's made many faux pas. He's been held in contempt of court, in contempt of Congress.
And just kind of ignored it.
Well, he did, and he was held in contempt for it. And there are potential sanctions for that, but... He's working those arguments, or the Department of Justice are working their way through the courts, and Holder lost. The court recently ruled that they must produce a privileged log as to the documents that pertain to the Fast and Furious investigation that the executive branch perpetrated, and that's going to work its way through. They've delayed as far as they can. They asked the court for a further delay to have these documents withheld from production until after the midterm election, and the court said, no, you're to give us that privilege log no later than October 22. And what that means is that the Department of Justice has to identify each and every document it has in its possession and the legal basis for withholding that from production. And then the court will rule accordingly as to whether or not the executive privilege does apply or whether the documents should be presented to the Oversight Committee of Congress. And I think where I'm coming out on that is I think, you know, it's Congress that has the right of oversight. And when they subpoena records, unless there are matters of attorney-client privilege involved or matters pertaining to the executive privilege, those documents should be produced. In normal investigations, that's typically not privileged from the Oversight Committee. There are ways that they can present this information or documents under seal, make them confidential so that those that are on the Oversight Committee can review them. They do that with the Security Council. They have closed sessions. They discuss this information so that Congress can fulfill its mandate of oversight.
Right.
But on the other hand, when you have an attorney general who is authorized and has been non-apologetic for investigating, intruding on personal computers, emails of James Rosen, of Cheryl Atkinson, who are just doing their jobs, and we have the liberal press ripping Richard Nixon, this would make Nixon turn over in his grave. I mean, legally, how can this man defend, you know, and let's go to the records that have been buried where they listed James Rosen to get the warrant as an enemy of the state because he investigated the bogus deal between our country and North Korea. He was interviewing a source, and Holder put the taps on him.
Now, let's be clear. You made a very interesting comment about Nixon, and I'll tell you, Nixon was an advocate and a very strong proponent for executive privilege. He was very strongly involved in protecting the power of the executive branch.
How did that work out for him?
Well, he won some and he lost some. Obviously, when it came down to the ultimate issue of did his administration commit a crime with the break-in and cover-up, that's what brought down the fall and his resignation. But nevertheless, every president has sought to embolden the power of the presidency.
Not every president has spied on reporters, spied on the American people. And let's go to, and Ray, we need to make a run at our friend from the Wetumpka Tea Party, that young lady, who she, Wetumpka, Alabama. You ever been to Wetumpka, Alabama?
I have not.
I can't even pronounce it, okay? It's not highfalutin. It's not right out of Troy, right out of Montgomery, down there in Auburn country, okay? So Wetumpka, Alabama, here you have this young lady starting a tea party, and you have the IRS persecuting her. You have Holder and his goons investigating her. You have folks that, whether you agree with them or not, in Prop 8 in California. Now, this must break your heart because you are an officer of the court. You have dedicated yourself to most of us, literally, to what we view figuratively the law, where you have people being investigated because they were exercising their First Amendment rights.
Well, this was all a part of the Patriot Act, which, by the way, our governor supported.
However, back to the point, the attorney general. Now, if George Bush would have done this, he would have been run. The attorney general authorized these things. Or maybe he did, maybe we don't. We don't know. He surely is not investigating these things.
No, Congress was the one that authorized
reporters. Not going after reporters that had done nothing wrong.
There was no exclusion to reporters with respect to the Patriot Act. This was the Pandora's box that Congress had unleashed on us under the guise of, well, we're at war.
What's the justification for going after James Rosen, except he exposed the fact that the administration said one thing publicly and one thing not so publicly?
It's a total abuse of power. You're absolutely right. A good idea that in implementation, you know, fails to meet the smell test. The idea of the Patriot Act was to give both the executive branch the ability to investigate potential terrorists and acts of terrorism, and then to turn that in a political vent, you know, against political opponents, like they did with the IRS, like they did in the case that you mentioned, is totally an abuse of power, and there should be a reckoning for it. It's totally wrong. That remains to be seen. The first step was taken by Judicial Watch, and my hat's off to them, you know, for stepping up, subpoenaing these documents. It's going to be the paper trail that will lead to whether or not there'll be indictments. But if it weren't for private citizens doing what we refer to as the qui tam approach, which allows a private citizen to step in when the government doesn't and solicit documents in these litigations that we're talking about.
Right, but my point is that Judicial Watch did what Congress couldn't and Holder had to go. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls on Eric Holder. Is America safe? Is America safer now that Holder is gone, or is it just more of the same? By the way, we'll be chasing Becky Gerritsen coming up of the Wetumpka Tea Party next week. Let's get you to traffic now.
The word is now that the Attorney General will resign today, and that he has served our country very, very well.
Wow. Eric has agreed to stay on as Attorney General until I nominate a successor.
Must Hear Radio every morning with Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
President Obama addressed the United Nations about American airstrikes against ISIS in Syria. So the U.S. is at war again.
I can't get out of my head the fact that Syria has a lot of oil. A lot of oil. Not a lot of oil in Rwanda or the Congo. Atrocities there all the time. I don't know why.
On Americans? I think one of the things that tends to happen is as soon as some stuff starts going down with Americans, we say, you know, no more. We don't want to do it anymore. And I don't think anybody goes to war gleefully.
I don't think there's a financial agenda attached to it.
Oh, boy, there we have it. Political analysis from those two scholars, Whoopi and Rosie. Sadly, we miss The View each and every day. Kevin Miller, along with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. I didn't think that they had oil in Syria. I know they have it everywhere else. I didn't think that Syria had a lot of oil.
It's all about the oil. Too bad they don't focus on natural gas and our resources.
Well, that's because the big oil companies here don't want that to happen.
No.
They want to keep us down. You ever see that movie Tucker, A Man and His Dream? It's all about big business, sticking it to the common man. You know that. You go into court all the time. Let's go to Linda in Emmett, who shared her story last night at Foothills Christian Church. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. I was absolutely stunned yesterday when I heard that, I happened to catch it on the news that Eric Holder was resigning. I think he did the smartest thing. I'd rather resign than get impeached. The man has done so much damage to this country. And so much damage with our relationship with other nations, that he should be impeached. That's the only thing I can say is the man should be impeached. I mean, I don't know if you can impeach somebody after they resign, but,
you can't.
You can't. I didn't think so.
But he's going to cash in at $450 an hour on Wall Street. You watch that. Or
yeah,
K Street in Washington.
That would not go over well. But I'm glad he's out of there. And it's going to be interesting to see what Obama does as his house of cards starts to collapse.
There's only two original Obama appointees left.
Yep.
Indeed.
I know.
Linda, your thoughts on last night? I know it was very personal for you.
And thank you for your story. That was a very touching testimony that you rendered last night.
Oh, well, thank you. I wish there would have been more people there, but it's a subject that still gets, you know, it's like the elephant in the middle of the room. Everybody pretends not to notice, but, you know, every once in a while the elephant steps wrong and it steps on somebody's toes and then the whole house explodes.
I knew we were in trouble when we were completing with Blake Shelton. I suggested to Kevin that maybe during the break that he sing to the crowd, you know, we might have got more people there.
Yeah. It would have, you know, the people that did show up and the women that shared their stories.
And the men.
You know, that one young man that was sitting in the row in front of me down at the end that you were talking to, I felt so sorry for him. I mean, how do you explain stuff like that? You can't. And I'm glad, as hard on him as it is, I'm glad he has finally made a decision to remove himself from the situation.
Right, that was a young man that witnessed abuse in a home. Linda, thank you for the call.
Okay, Kevin, you take care.
All right, appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up much more on Eric Holder. Remember, A.J. Belukov will be joining us coming up. Also, something that I have disagreed with Dave Burnett about, and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, the salute that didn't happen. Coming up, a major media outlet supports the president at the expense of President Bush. Does a salute matter to you? And we'll hear from our fair and alleged balanced perspective Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and your phone calls. Coming up next, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
Brian Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Part of the Gun Initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular our young people. They are saturated in the media and in entertainment, or by the entertainment industry, with violence. And I think too many of our young people, in particular our young men, are fascinated with violence and in particular fascinated with guns. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make it something that's not cool, that it's not acceptable, it's not hip to carry a gun anymore. In the way in which we've changed our attitudes about cigarettes, you know, when I was growing up, people smoked all the time. I mean, both my parents did. But over time, we changed the way in which people thought about smoking, and so now we have people who cower outside of buildings and kind of smoke in private and don't want to admit it.
And there we have it. Let's do the same for guns and firearms. Never mind, it's protected by the Constitution. That's one topic we're talking about. Kevin Miller in the morning, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Don't forget, A.J. Belukoff will join us coming up. And if you've been listening, another issue that we do want to bring to light, and this is an issue involving the presidential salute. Let's see how the Fair and Balanced Today show covered the president disrespecting the military.
The latte salute. The White House posted this video on Instagram on Tuesday. Shows President Obama stepping off Marine One here in New York, saluting Marines with a coffee cup in his hand. Some are now calling this disrespectful. They're offended by it. But politics being politics, some of the president's defenders are circulating this photo of George W. Bush during his presidency. He is saluting service members while holding his dog, Barney. That didn't take long for that photo to come out as well.
President George W. Bush saluted as well in a way that was seen as controversial. He was holding Barney the dog there. So you have people who don't care for President Obama who say, this is so disrespectful. The supporters of Obama then show the picture of Bush, and then it goes back and forth.
He's got ISIS to deal with, a lot on his mind. There's a lot more bigger concerns in the world, and we're focusing on a cup of coffee.
Right. Two women that I worked with in the past, Tamara Hall and Natalie Morales, now on the Today Show, and I'm with you and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. How far we've all come. However, the point being at 580-5436, a lot of people say, oh, a salute, what's a big darn deal? For people that serve in the military, understand that. It takes you sometimes days, weeks, months to understand the significance of the salute, to actually do it correctly. And is it beneath the commander-in-chief to do it properly, sir?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed with our country with respect to all the problems that we have, like we talked about last night with domestic abuse, child abuse, and we're talking about a freaking salute. I think that, my hat's off to those who have served, those who are serving, and our prayers are with them. We are in war, and we're fighting an enemy. But instead of talking about the issues and debating about what we should be doing with dealing with the jihadi Johns of the world, and there's not just one of them, there are many of them, we're left to a debate about the manner in which the president salutes, either holding his dog or holding his coffee cup. Basically, here's what the problem is, and this is the criticism that I have, and that is, each issue has a point and counterpoint, and through the dialogue, we can decide for ourselves what we wish to believe. You know, people don't believe it if they see it. They see it only if they believe it. So as information is presented, it's accepted, rejected, or modified based on the belief system.
Right.
So what we're doing here now, instead of focusing on the beliefs, focusing on the discussion and debate, we're focusing over form over substance.
Right. However, at 580KIDO, if I were the president, I would be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed for not having the sensitivity to put down a coffee cup. And the news media, instead of looking at this and having a real-life discussion about it, heck, we got to make sure before the ink was dry, we got Thousands of pictures of Bush with his dog, Barney. So what? Here's the thing. If you serve in the military, if you have dedicated your life and you're on Marine One and all this, and this person, who with respect we have respect for the office of the presidency, cannot even return a salute, whether you're a PFC, CB, an airman, whatever, that's the basic meaning of respect. And I think that if you're not outraged by it, then there's something wrong. I think it is important to military people.
I'm not outraged in the least. I've looked at several presidents and the way that they came off of Marine One. Those who have actually served our country and served it honorably, put their life on the line. George Herbert Walker Bush was one of them. And looking at, you know, well, how did they salute when they disembarked Marine One? And we're not talking about a crispy Marine snappy salute. You know, it's basically a hi, how are you kind of salute. To me, it's much to do about nothing. But I'll tell you what is important. When the Attorney General starts coming up here and says, well, we've got trouble in River City, and plays this Music Man Harold Hill approach and says all our ills in society is due to guns, and we're going to take them away as we did cigarettes. Now that's an issue that needs to be debated. As you said in a snappy comment, well, you know, forget the Constitution. But that's exactly at the heart of the debate. What kind of America do we want? What kind of Idaho do we want? And forming the discussion along those lines. It was real interesting meeting Tom Munsey last night, and he was talking about, well, we wanted to have a debate between us on vis-a-vis Facebook. I said, I'd love to do that, but I blocked you months ago on Facebook, and we, you know, had a little laugh about it. The thing that moves me is a discussion on the points of the issues to make our society, as you know, my mission statement is very clear. My mission statement for being here, my work with my family is basically geared to one thing, and that is designed to make our homes, our communities, a safer and better place to live for our kids and our grandkids.
Right.
What I see is a debate about what we're going to do with education,
right,
what we're going to do with respect to the gun culture, what we're going to do with well, you know, the laws.
Who's the adult, though? You send men into combat, and you are a role model, an example.
Well, this man, look at what he did as far as is Obama. There are many things that I have that are critical, but he's the one who authorized us going into Pakistan, where even the Joint Chiefs were arguing maybe this is not a wise decision to do, and we got Osama bin Laden. George Bush didn't do that. It was Obama who made that call. And we went into a sovereign country,
yeah,
and we got the guy, and we're not apologetic for it, nor should we.
And you know something? Let's give you the counterargument. Here's a guy that let those people die in Benghazi. And by the way, Alan, our great friend, and we could agree to disagree here at 580KIDO, who benefited by killing Osama? Heck, the way the press came out with it, you'd think that Obama was right there telling SEAL Team 6 where to go. I think it's an embarrassment how this person has used the military and publicized these special ops that have been in the shadows and like to stay in the shadows for his own personal benefit. And then when you, and I'm not filibustering, and then when you have people dying, that's how I feel when you're yapping. We got to keep this going. So give and take. So when you have people dying in Benghazi, he still has not revealed where he was that night.
The point is this.
No. You said you're laying the smack down that he's some great commander in chief.
No, I'm not.
What about Benghazi?
I'm not saying that at all.
What about Benghazi?
But you've got to give him credit where credit is due. That's the point.
And no one's being critical for Benghazi. Address Benghazi.
I've researched that issue fully. All right. Our embassies, this isn't the isolated incident where an embassy was under attack and nothing happened. We've seen this every year. Under every administration where our embassies are under attack and people die. It was of notoriety that we lost an ambassador. But we've had people that have been shot and killed at, and they're targets.
When they're calling on the phone and the military is ready to go, when the people that served in that consulate are prohibited from speaking publicly in America because the administration wants to cover it up. When Judicial Watch has to sue, it's a little different. It's a little different than what happened in Nigeria or Kenya or some other place.
I tip my hat to you on one thing. Instead of reducing this to name calling and talking about creeps, now we're talking about public policy. What should the United States of America should do when our embassies, our own property in a foreign land, is under attack? That's a very legitimate debate, and that's one that's going to continue on. But what my concern is that instead of focusing on that debate, what we do is we talk about, you know, how a president salutes.
I think that's important. In fact, we have a lot of people who have served with distinction here at 580KIDO that have said this. Here we go. Kevin, I gave 22 years of my life to the military and in this country and still serve. Quite a few sacrifice their limbs or lives. It shows disrespect to not have the common courtesy to learn and render a proper salute or have the cojones to say, I'm not saluting.
The point is this, is that when you look at how every president has snapped a salute, it was never what you see at Paris Island. It was never what you see at any military installation. These people typically, like I said, they're laypersons. They don't know how to salute. It's not, to me, I mean no defense or disrespect to anyone who has served or is serving, you know, with respect to that. But if I go to Toys R Tots, you know, at the Toys R Us store, and I see a Marine dressed in a snappy uniform.
Dress blues, yeah.
Dress blues. It's not uncommon. I don't see any Vietnam vet that goes up there and then snaps a salute.
You're not
at
the
him.
President. They're not the president.
I agree.
The president's the commander.
That's what I'm saying.
More coming up with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. He's coming under fire. You have to leave.
I do.
All right. Well,
I've got to get to work.
I think you're ducking AJ. You hey. Like AJ? Is he your boy?
Is he my boy? Let's put it this way. I like both of these folks.
Oh,
I like
come on,
Butch
quit,
and I like AJ. I do. These
quit
people
waffling
are good
on the
guys.
Fence.
It's not about, well, you've asked me a personal question, not about policies and programs, but you asked me if I like these guys. And both AJ and Butch, they're likable people. I mean, look at what Butch did, for example, when I called him out for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. You know, I never thought that he would answer that, but that's the kind of guy that he was. He stepped up and he did it with flair.
You know, we take one side or the other here, buddy.
But that's the point.
Are you
that
a blue
sometimes,
jack guy?
Sometimes
what
you have to do is you have to make a stand with respect to the personalities. You're bombarding me with questions, but what am I? I'm a father of five, and I'm a grandpa of seven. And I am a great proponent of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I also understand and acknowledge the counter debate with respect to whether or not it's government's role.
We have to acknowledge it's time to get rid of the debate and go to traffic.
There we go.
We appreciate you coming in.
You bet. Thanks for letting me come.
Oh, always a pleasure. 580KIDO, good morning.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, thank you very much. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, getting a lot of feedback from our segment with ALM, I guess. Getting back to whether a salute matters, the Boise Rabble Rouser and diehard Sons of Anarchy fan emails us here at KIDO. What's the fuss, dog lover versus tea lover or black versus white? The joke is really that when President Bush salutes, it's love for of America. When Obama salutes, it means he hates America. By the way, the president saluting the Marines started with Reagan. Even President Eisenhower didn't do it. And 5 years of previous to becoming president, he was a five-star general. Yeah, but on the other hand, this president had an attorney general that said we were a nation of cowards, had an attorney general that wanted to take our guns, had an attorney general that authorized spying on innocent people. Whether it's Becky Gerritsen or the Wetumpka Tea Party or James Rosen. Hey, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to those reporters? Nothing. They were just enemies of the state. From our friend Bob, no, it's not much to do about nothing. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can be outraged at the president for not saluting properly and be outraged about other things, too. Here's the difference between Bush and Obama. Bush loved the military, and they loved him. Obama hates the military, and they don't care for him either. I think symbolism matters. I think saluting matters. And whether you were brought up in a military family, in the military, you get what I'm saying. To Martha, answering your question, no, America is not safe as long as we have Obama. You mentioned Nixon, who was lily white compared to Holder, yet it was noble enough to resign, better than Clinton, who just continued on despite shaming the office in the White House, and now enjoys a place of prominence in the Democratic Party. The country has gone so far downhill morally. 7:58 with Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, A.J. Belukoff. First, traffic at 7:59, 580 KIDO. K. Miller in the morning. Thank you all for starting your Friday with us. Coming up next, we go one-on-one with A.J. Belukoff. He wants to be your governor. He'll make his case to you next, 580 KIDO.